It's a Ben Fred Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com, the sports columnist of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and we visit with Ben every Friday on the site, Scoops with DannyMac.com. And as always, Ben, good morning to you. Lots to get into. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I just want people to know that Scoops Empire is not locked out. The content will continue to roll on, and nothing can stop us, Dan. We are unstoppable.
It keeps going, man. We did it through COVID when nothing was going on, and we're doing it now. And I'm just going to address one question with you, just your thoughts on the lockout, and then we'll talk about things that are happening on the field, on the court, on the ice. What's your take on what's happening with the MLB lockout?
Well, we saw it coming, so no surprise. And I really think that, this is a situation where baseball's just got to get it together, get it figured out. I don't think they need to pander to fans to try to get them to pick sides. That's already kind of starting. I think that's worthless. I think they need to get this thing squared away. There's clear differences of opinion about that revenue pie and how it should be split up. There doesn't seem to be much compromising going on right now. It's going to need to get a lot better, a lot faster. And they all know that the real deadline is, of course, the regular season. So I'm not panicking. I don't have much tolerance for the saber rattling at this time. If we get deep into what should be spring training and there's been no progress, then we will maybe have a different tone. But we saw this coming, so now they got some time to work it out. And I think as long as they can have a regular, normal, regular season, then a shortened spring training probably isn't that big of a deal. And they also know that, so that's what I would expect to see. And until it becomes where that's not a reality, then I'm not going to worry about it too much.
Every sport right now dealing with COVID, we've been dealing with it for a couple of years now, and it's really hit the St. Louis Blues. This is a tough stretch, and it hit two of their best players yesterday, one of them being their starting goaltender in Jordan Binnington, another one being an all-star defenseman in Falk. So this has been a tough go for the St. Louis Blues.
Man, I don't know how to even analyze this. It's like you kind of want to start seeing the Blues play better more consistently, but when they've had so many guys out, it's tough. When you don't have Jordan Binnington for 10 days, then it's really hard to make too much out of analyzing this team. They just got to have their team. They've got to get these guys over this hump, and they thought they were over it, and now it's starting to bubble up again. I don't know what's going on, why hockey is so much different than these other sports that seem to be able to more or less, have guys, vaccinated guys, be around the team and playing. Clearly the protocols are different for hockey. And I know teams are frustrated with some of the situations here, but they've got some big games coming up and they're not going to have their number one goalie. And now Falk is out too. So they just got to survive it, man. They got to get through it. They got to get past this and then hopefully keep their team together in order to make a push here. It was good for them that they started so hot, because they're going to need some of that cushion now. They get a big win, a really kind of a roller coaster win against Tampa, and then all of a sudden have their legs cut out from underneath them with Binnington out, and they give one right back to Tampa on the road there. So it's hard to read too much into it until they've got their team out there and until all these guys get over that hump of having to get reconditioned when they've been out.
How about Missouri basketball? What is going on right now with Konzo Martin's program blown out against Liberty last night?
It's not good, Dan. It's kind of the same game over and over again. It's how they lost to UMKC. They've got some big games coming up, Illinois, Kansas. They got to play Kentucky soon. And, they're having a terrible performance against teams that do not belong in those discussions. And they got some much fiercer competition coming up. So the offense is non-existent. They've got some real problems at point guard. Jaron Coleman, who they get transfer in, I think they thought was going to be the point guard and maybe add some scoring. He can't do that. He's been put on the bench. So they've got a lot of issues, and being candid here, and I'm a Konzo supporter. I like Konzo a lot, but there's not a lot of ways where you can look around and say, okay, that's where the offense is going to come from. So I don't know. I don't have a lot of answers right now. They're going to have to summon something, and he's going to have to do something differently offensively in order to create some scoring for this team. And they're going to need to defend better. They're not going to score a lot, but they better play their tail off defensively. I don't know, man. I don't know how it's going to get a lot better. And I also think you look at this roster and go, okay, most of these guys are going to be back. So, it's, you like to see something from these young players, these guys with eligibility left, that gives you promise for for next season. It's year five for Konzo. Folks knew it was going to be a new look with all of these transfers, but it was not supposed to look like this. So I know there are already folks, you know, wondering, because he survived this season, could they look at a change? And here's the deal, Dan. Missouri just restructured a part of its athletic department because two staffers that were making, I think, a combined $200,000 were let go. I mean, they're really cutting some costs. Konzo Martin's owed $6 million if fired before May. So folks might want to consider that number before they just assume that he's not going to get another season. But I'll say this, when you have games like that, it does raise those kind of questions.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to get into is the coaching carousel and big money being paid to college football coaches. Brian Kelly leaving, Lincoln Riley going to USC from Oklahoma. What have you thought of just some of those moves that you've seen on the coaching front in college football?
Well, I liked Brian Kelly coming up with a Southern accent overnight.
It's impressive. Hey, very impressive.
I guess if you get paid $10 million over annually for 10 years, then you can pretend to put on any accent you want, right? I mean, that was
There's no doubt.
Hey, a couple million and you can just fake it until you make it. But I like the integrity at LSU. They've got one of the least likable head football coaches in Brian Kelly. They've got Kim Mulkey, who's just a walking disaster. And then they've got Will Wade, who is you know, still under federal investigation for that whole appearing on FBI wiretaps. That's a great trio of coaches there at LSU. But I give them some credit for just not giving a damn about anything other than winning. Some schools pretend to do it. LSU is just fully leaning into it. So it's crazy, man, and it's not done yet. I did think Fickell would be on the move maybe to Notre Dame, but they decided to keep it from within. Cincinnati fans get to rejoice, but Oklahoma is still out there, so this carousel could continue to turn. But here's the deal, man. College football, remember when we had that conversation, Dan, about could COVID cause some more restrained spending in college sports? That lasted about 2 months.
Yeah.
We're now seeing guys who are barely above 500 get 10-year deals, and they're going to, all of them are probably going to be fired before they're over, and they're going to get buyouts to go sit on the beach like Ed Orgeron is doing. It's wild, and there's just so much money, and there's such grand expectations, and there's so much cash being thrown at these programs that they've got to find a way for the money to go, and these coaches are getting the rewards. But I think a few of them are going to probably not end up finishing these deals. My biggest takeaway is this. Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are about to get paid this offseason because they are now officially underpaid.
It's hard to believe. And when I was thinking back more to Brian Kelly too, because there's a lot of alum of Notre Dame in St. Louis. And so that was the one I just did not see coming. And I guess you should expect the unexpected, the manner in which he did it, and then meeting with his players at 7 a.m. and talking to them literally for, what, 2 minutes, something like that, whatever it was,
yeah.
And he's out the door.
Yeah.
And he's on the cusp of being, you know, in the college football playoff if some things go his way. That one is just, to me, a little bit of a head-scratcher. Now, I understand the money, but that one was more of a head-scratcher than maybe some of the others that we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lincoln Riley too, right? Like, I mean, I can't imagine Oklahoma would not have matched or beaten whatever USC was going to give. But I think he looked at that SEC move and said, man, I can have a much easier path to the college football playoff by going to USC, trying to make that the Pete Carroll version of USC again and live on a beach. And it's a fresh start. And, you know, I think sometimes these guys make self-preservation moves. I don't think that was the case for Brian Kelly. But here's the deal, coaching at Notre Dame, if he saw those contracts being handed out to James Franklin and to Mel Tucker, and if he felt like his AD didn't come to him soon enough with the new deal, if he was starting to convince himself that he was being disrespected, and LSU calls and promises him the world, then it might be a little bit easier to go down there and recruit the way he can at LSU compared to the guys he's got to try to get in at Notre Dame. LSU doesn't care about who he recruits as long as they can play. Notre Dame, you actually have to check a couple other boxes. So for some reason, Dan, he felt like he had a better chance of winning national championships at LSU. And that's kind of been the thing that he hasn't done. He can get in the mix, but he hasn't won the big game once he's been in. And now he will have to do that at LSU. So I do wonder if, you know, years from now, if he views this as a mistake. If he goes down there and wins two national titles, maybe not. But if he wins one, we know that that can still get him fired like the guy he's replacing.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Auburn with Gene Chizik. They win a national championship, and a couple of years later, he's gone. I mean, it truly is, what have you done for me lately? And that's especially in the world of the SEC and big-time college football. We know that Mizzou is bowl eligible, so what are some of the potential bowls that Mizzou could be playing in?
We'll find out Sunday for sure, and they could go anywhere, Dan. It's going to be a cluster with the SEC teams. I think they're going to have to send one SEC team to a non-SEC bowl, that's really the one you want to probably avoid. Missouri hopes they're going to get the Liberty Bowl. They would like that, and that's what they're hoping for, but there's no guarantee they'll get that. But going to the Liberty Bowl would be a decent game. They'd probably get some Mizzou fans on the road for that one. Maybe they get helped out. I can't imagine Brian Kelly's going to coach LSU in its bowl game, so maybe LSU, maybe Florida gets docked a little bit for not having a current coach in terms of expectations of travel, so Missouri might get a leg up there. But if I had to guess, and if they get their wish, I think it would be the Liberty Bowl.
In terms of the NFL lawsuit, we talked a lot about it last week, but there's been some fallout with that as it pertains to Oakland, and maybe a reason as to why you say, yep, we'll take the $790 million and walk away from it.
Well, I did want to update something on that, because I know folks are still wondering, should they have pushed it harder? You know, should they not have taken the settlement? Should they have gone to the trial? And something to consider here. You know, the Oakland relocation lawsuit, which was similar but also different from the one filed here in St. Louis, it really tried to make it more of a antitrust case, and it got thrown out immediately. It was appealed, and that appeal ruling has come out. It came out, and basically the appellate court that was reviewing this lawsuit basically called it a Hail Mary of speculation. So I did get a text late Thursday night that said, hey, you know, folks who were wondering maybe about why they settled, why they grabbed that nearly $800 million, here's another reason why. The NFL was going to appeal whatever was won at trial, it would have been a tougher road to hoe for the appeal to hold that up. So that's part of the thinking there, I think, a little bit. I did have one very neutral source tell me, look, there were some smoke and mirrors to this, and they were wise to grab the settlement when they did. So not everybody's going to believe that. I get it. And some people wanted to see the trial. I get it. But when you view what happened in Oakland and you view some of the wording that's come out of that case here, as it is officially dead now, it makes you feel a little bit better about St. Louis getting the money and getting the heck out of Dodge.
You had the chance to visit with St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones, as well as the county executive, Sam Page, and the focal point of that was about why take the $790 million, and then eventually, how are you going to spend it? So let our fans and our listeners know what came of that when you had the chance to visit with those two.
Well, there's good news and bad. Good is they both seem to understand that this is important to not, you know, become a casualty of politics, as Sam Page referred to my question, which was very accurate. I kind of asked him, are you guys going to beat the assumption that this is just going to get fought over and really fractured? And he said, you know, they've got a good relationship. They feel like they'll be able to divvy it up with ease and hopefully put it towards something that everybody thinks can be good. I mean, whether it's investing it and using the interest to do good things in the community, whatever route they go, I feel like there won't be fighting about how to split it up and hopefully how to spend it. So that's the good news. They understand the importance, right? The bad news, Dan, there's no pre-existing agreement on who gets what here. So if there is tension, if there is friction, then it could get kind of awkward as they try to mediate who gets this money and where it goes. So hopefully the region stuck together through the lawsuit. They can stick together through figuring out who gets what once the lawyers get their cut. Fingers are crossed, and I do think they understand there's going to be a lot of attention paid on this. So until we have reason to believe otherwise, I guess we got to give them the benefit of the doubt and hope that they don't give folks a reason to get frustrated.
Any indication of how they wanted to spend it? Did they tip their hat at all on that? Tip their hand, I should say?
Not much. I do think that it's probably likely that some of it will go towards some upgrades and improvements to the dome. I mean, that creates a lot of business, a lot of money into the region. So I think that's likely. As far as after that, I would love to see some of it earmarked towards something that could help sports. Whether it's youth sports or the sports commission as it tries to bring events here. You know, one thing I've pointed to, and everybody's got an idea, right? But my idea is what LA did, ironically, with the 1984 Olympic leftovers. They had like a surplus of $200 million, I think, and they started something called the 84 Foundation. And it's a program that basically took that money, put it in a trust, privately managed, and they've since then grown that endowment, you know, multiple times. They've more than doubled it while also giving out millions upon millions of dollars toward youth sports teams, programs, coaches, training seminars and sessions. And it's become this great kind of living legacy of the Olympics in Los Angeles. So that would be my suggestion, is use that compounding interest on $500+ million that is left up to the lawyer's fees, and then take from that the interest and do good things with it. You know, I think the rush is always to spend it, spend, spend, spend. But if you invest it and use the money that you can get back from it, then it lasts a lot longer, and you can perhaps, you know, spread it out over the course of time. Doing something that you can look to years from now and saying that is the byproduct of that settlement, I think that's the way to go.
Be interesting to see what they do with this. Coming up at the Missouri Athletic Club, it'll be the Jack Buck Awards. Always a special night in St. Louis at the MAC. And if you have a chance to go to that, make sure you do. Take it in. It's always fun. And I bring that up because Kevin Kalish will be one of the recipients of one of the awards at the MAC. And that's the downtown location. And SLU soccer, obviously, it's huge Saturday night. Really a big Saturday for SLU. And one of the Saturdays where they're going to take center stage here in St. Louis. You've got basketball taking on UAB, coming off a very good win against Boise State. SLU soccer still in the NCAA tournament. They actually moved up the basketball game to 5:30 so that fans could stick around and then watch at Chaffetz Arena the soccer game. So that's going to be a cool night if you're a Billiken fan.
Absolutely. I love that they're doing that and inviting people to stick around Chaffetz and watch. And it's great that the basketball team did its part to keep this weekend kind of, you know, buzzing. Now, they have not lost a game since they took one on the chin there at Memphis. And that was a nice road win the basketball team picked up at Boise State. They had to go into overtime to get it. Gibson Jimerson played well. You had a huge drive from Uri Collins late there. That's a pretty decent Mountain West team that the Billikens knocked off. Dan, they're also making free throws, which is awesome, because I mean, we've lost track of how many times over the past seasons we've talked about their inability to make free throws. Now they're like one of the best free throw shooting teams in the country. So that should be a nice kind of preview into the soccer game. I love that the Billikens won and that they're continuing to roll. The knock on them, the soccer team, was that they came out of that, you know, A-10 that wasn't a great soccer conference. Well, here they are on the cusp of that Final Four. Coach Kalish has done a great job. They're up against a tough team in Washington, but they get to be the David against Goliath, and why not? They've come this far.
Absolutely, and it should be fun. And hoops, you know, right now when you look at the local scene, Travis Ford has this thing rolling pretty well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they've got a chance to make this an exciting season. And remember, they're doing it without Javonte Perkins, and they've really found a way to kind of find their footing without the guy who was supposed to be the star of their team. So they've got a good season rolling here. A win against UAB would be big for them. UAB's probably an underappreciated team. They're 6-2 headed into this game. Their only losses, other than one bad one against, I think it was San Francisco, close. They also lost to South Carolina. So that'd be a good win for them at Chaffetz on Saturday if they can get it.
All right, my man. We do it every Friday, and we covered a lot here. And you'll be busy, I'm sure, this weekend writing various things, maybe about MLB and some of the other subjects in sports, as you always do. You do a great job with that. And we'll have a chance to catch up next Friday. Enjoy the weather this weekend.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I got a column up now at STLTA.com about the lockout. We'll have plenty more throughout the weekend as we figure out what's next for baseball. And we'll have tons of coverage of SLU's big weekend at STLTA.com, too.
All right, buddy. Talk to you Friday.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.